Glory be to God. We're continuing our series on achieving an alien mentality. And we are talking about the benefits of solid food versus milk as we talk about achieving an alien mentality. An alien, once again, are those who belong to the Spirit of God, who are children of the Lord, who think differently, who speak differently, and who act differently because of the fact that we are taught by the Word of God, live by the Word of God. And that's why in accepting that Word, we live by it, and therefore our thoughts, our words, and our actions are alien, foreign, strange to the rest of the world. The literal word means to live alongside the house. And so we've gone over that many, many, many times. We're talking about getting ourselves in position to achieve this alien foreign mentality. We said milk does begin the process of spiritual growth, but it does not further it. The milk of the Word of God are the rudimentary, elementary facets of the Word of God. Milk begins a process of spiritual growth, but it does not promote it or continue it. It begins it, but eventually we must transition to solid food, also known in the King James as meat, which is the thicker, more weightier portions of Scripture, those deeper theological concepts. And so we must transition to that in order to begin the process of thinking like an alien, having the intellect of a mature Christian. So we looked at some of the benefits, we were looking at some of the benefits of the meat of God's word or the solid food of his word found in Psalm 119. So let's go back to that, please. Psalm 119. And let's go back to verse 97. And Lord willing, we'll read down to verse 105. Again, the benefits of receiving the meat of the Word of God in shaping our thinking and our intellect as an alien, as a foreigner, as a stranger. How many know that we must have the Word of God in order to shape our intellect? It must be the supreme entity. I love verse 97. Again, this is still review. Oh, how I love your law. Remember, when you see words like your law, we're talking about the Word of God. When we see words, we want to look at the synonyms for law, for the Word of God, with your law, verse 98, your commandments, verse 99, your testimonies, verse 100, your precepts, verse 101, your word, verse 102. Or 103 rather, your words, and then 104, your precepts, and 105, your word. So I think it's safe to say that this is about the Word of God. Amen. Is that safe to say? Amen. Psalm 119 majors in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. So he says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Yes. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. Remember, we talked about that. One of the benefits of the Word of God is that you love it, you meditate on it, and when you make them yours, personalize them, then they become your, they make you wiser than your enemies. That's why you need to not allow your enemies to upset you so per se. Just let the Lord God teach you about what's happening in that, because he's made you through his word wiser than your enemies. Verse 99, I have more insight than all my teachers. We talked about that last week. That's another benefit of getting the meat or the solid food of God's word. It makes you wiser than your enemies. It gives you more insight than all your teachers. For your testimony are my meditation. He says it again, that the Word of God is what he meditates on. And Psalm 1 talks about meditating on the Word of God. How often? Day and night. Day and night. Look at Psalm 119. I understand more than the aged or aged because I have observed your precepts. And observe means to keep, which means to observe to do. Doesn't mean just to look at closely and scrutinize. It means observe to do. With the intent to do, with the intent to obey. Just like the word believe in the Greek and Hebrew doesn't mean just mental assent, but it means with the intent to do. So when he says that I have observed your precepts, it means that I hear and observe your precepts with the intent to obey your precepts. When I do that, I understand more than the aged or the aged, those that are older than you. You're wiser than them, because that's what the word of God does. It gives us wisdom. After all, ultimate wisdom, ultimate knowledge, and understanding of that wisdom and knowledge ultimately comes from the word of God. Amen. So you can see why that would be the case. Right. More than academics from the top universities all over the world. Great scholarship can only go so far. Academics will only take you so far. But it can't touch the things in the spirit realm. Because there will come a time where things are, and this thing's happening every day, spiritually speaking, that our intellect cannot handle. Right. How many know that's true? Amen. And so we thank God for wisdom. We thank God for understanding. We thank God for insight. Amen. And notice this little section we're of this here. We're under thinking like a Christian, right? Thinking like an alien. And then this here is getting the meat of God's word, the solid food of God's word, so that it will shape our thinking and shape our intellect, and not let our thinking and our intellect be shaped by the world. Because all too often, and as I've told you, we've had decades of society shaping our intellect, and vestiges of that still creeps in all too often. A lot of time before we know it, we're thinking just like the world, and the Holy Spirit is out to alert us and say, hey, that's not what the word says. You're just joining in. You're emotional, or you're, you know, we get there because we're emotional creatures. Speaking with the pastor yesterday, we were talking about it. He said, what about emotion? Because he's in seminary, and seminary is kind of a dry, non-emotional place. And he said, I think there's a place for that, because God gave us emotion and he made us with intellect. Where's the blending? I said, that's exactly what we try to have in Word of Life, a blending of the two. You're allowed to shout out here and do that, because the truths of God's word brings about that emotion. You're thankful that he saved you. I'm sure everyone was talking about it a couple weeks ago. The song, we've sung this song for years, but they just like their new song, because there's a deeper insight into who he is and what he has done. We get excited about that. Amen. David danced out of his clothes. His outer tunic, brother. He wasn't naked, but he danced out of his outer clothes. He was so excited. It says, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, O ye people. I mean, there's one incident there where they were making such noise that the next town heard them. The ground shook. There's a place for hallelujah. So I was telling him, there's a place for that, but your joy must be based on the word of God. You've gotten happy because you are, or you're full of joy because you understand something. You've been taught some things. Does that make sense? So that when that comes becomes real to you, hallelujah! Woo! Comes out.
Hallelujah.
Because it's real, for real, for real. He saved me. I was on my way to hell for real, for real. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Man, I ain't proud of it, but I will tell you, he delivered me from pornography. From lying about cars that you ain't supposed to have in the first place. You know good and well you wasn't going to work the rest of the year. You took a 3-month job and stretched it out over 12 months and said, this is my salary for the year. That, it was only a 3-month job. It was a summer job. You know that?
You're supposed to get your car repossessed. You don't need to have it.
You lied to get it. No, didn't trust God. But that's what an unsaved knucklehead does.
Center of sin. That's what we do. All day, every day. And if he doesn't come in with a supernatural resurrection, come on, somebody.
Amen.
We are going to hell.
Amen.
Don't pass go. Don't click $200. Go straight to hell. That's the plight of every single sinner in the world.
So when you understand that you were in a situation from which you could not extricate yourself, and you understand that God in his mercy, no goodness of our own, came in anyway and did that. Hallelujah.
That's when you go to shout and throw and snot and over everybody. You don't care if you spit on 10 people, just get your Kleenex and wipe them off. And bless them in the name of Jesus. Just do that to them.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
Excuse me for spitting all over you, but I understand really, it's hitting me what God really knows. That's why sometimes you just cry. Someone asked a question, as Kirk Franklin said, reason why we sing, why we crying, and nothing even wrong.
Yeah.
We ain't crying, sing because I'm happy.
Yes.
If I can correct a little bit, we'll sing because we're joyous.
Oh, yes.
That's why you can have joy in the midst of trouble, because your joy is based on what he's done. And because trouble hit, what he's done don't get under.
Amen.
I don't know if you just caught that or not.
Yes.
All hell breaking loose around you, but you are still saved. You're still a child of God. He is still on the throne, and he's still your father. And you are still his son or daughter.
Amen.
Even in the midst of the hard times, he's still there.
Amen.
He don't go nowhere, because he can't lie. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That'll bring tears to your eyes when you're in the midst of really hard things. You're like, wow, I'm not alone. I may feel alone, but I'm traveling with a gang of three, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. I'm not alone. Devil, you're the liar.
Yes.
I may feel alone, but don't go by your feelings.
Amen.
The fact remains, he said, I will never leave you, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. And the title of the Holy Spirit in Greek is Comforter, which is Parakletos, which means he's your helper, one called alongside you to Kletos, help you, walk with you, counsel you, guide you. This new term of life coach, that's what he is.
Yes, thank you, Lord.
Said, I'm right here. I ain't going nowhere. I know you're struggling. I see you. Remember, we don't have a high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our weaknesses and infirmities and tears and so forth. We don't have that high priest. The high priest we do have is one who can be touched, who is and feels what you feel. He can literally say to us, I feel your pain. Because I've been there. Because I was tempted in every point just like us. But I didn't sin when I did. I was insulted. Didn't offer insult again. I suffered, but I didn't threaten. I've been where you've been. You can make this. You can do this. I'm on your side. I'm your shepherd. I'm your provider. I'm your caretaker. I'm your caregiver, and I'll never fail in taking care of you.
Amen.
I never said you never go through the hard times. I didn't say that. That's a lie. That's pie in the sky. That don't work. That's not real. What's real is when you go through troubles, you'll know how to handle them. You'll be comforted in knowing some things. That's the problem when you stay with milk.
Yeah.
Folk don't know much. They don't understand the sovereignty of God, because that's a meaty concept, theological concept. They don't understand that God is still in control no matter what's happening in your life. He didn't fall off the throne. If Jesus is no longer Lord, we got problems. Now we got real problems. Now I beat you to the liquor store. Because I'm about to get drunk, because there ain't no hope now. Because Jesus done fell off the throne. I'm in trouble now. Long as he's on that throne, which he will forever be, because he's over a kingdom that will never end, and his reign will never come to an end, then glory be to God, he is still in control.
Amen.
I know I keep telling the simple truths, things like when the 2:30 a.m. call happens, it surprised you, not God.
Amen.
It took us by surprise with the report of cancer. It took us by surprise that my dad had died or mama had gone home. It took us by surprise, but God already saw it before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
That's why you turn to Him. Lord God, this didn't surprise you. I need you right now.
Yes.
Walk me through this. And you can have your tears.
Yes.
Lord, have mercy. Who started that nonsense that tears is weakness? Tears is what God gave you. Tears is cleansing. Tears are release. It's a release that'll hold all that stuff in. Cry. Job wept, tore his robe, shaved his head, fell to the ground and grieved over the loss of his 10 children and his wife. Lost her in another kind of way. Lost all his finances. It's all right to grieve. But just know that He's right there with you. Grieving, crying, being broke down crying, being extremely sad does not mean that you believe that God is no longer with you.
Amen.
It's not a sign of no faith. It's not a sign of a lack of faith, not necessarily. Apostle Paul was so broke down and blew out because of the false prophets that had crept into the church at Corinth. It had tore the church up so bad, the word of God says he was depressed. This is the greatest apostle outside of Jesus to ever walk the face of the earth. Probably the greatest theologian, the greatest preacher ever. The times had gotten so, it had hit him so. And that's what, as a pastor, that's the scariest thing as a pastor, is to have the church turn on you. That's a scary thing. And these liars came in, and these false prophets came into the church of Corinth and turned them against their own pastor, Apostle Paul. And it broke him down and hurt him so bad. That was the thorn, which was more like a dagger that was stabbed into his side, symbolically speaking, spiritually speaking. He prayed to God 3 times, please take this thing off of me. It's hurting me so bad. That's the saddest thing I read as a pastor. If somebody came in and convinced you all, and I had to come in and try to prove myself, and when he did show back up at that church, they argued with him and did not accept him. Went away. It was a very bad meeting. But God allowed it all.
Amen.
Scary for me. Because I love you all. I'm invested in Word of Life. Pastoring is my life. I don't have another job. This is my life. I care for you for real, for real. And like Apostle Paul said, when you sin, it hurts me. When you fail, I feel your feeling. I feel your failings. I feel. Because I'm invested in you for real. Take being your pastor very seriously. God has called me a pastor. I'm going to ask MacArthur, John MacArthur, when are you going to retire? He said, retire from what? This is a pastor. This is not a job. I never could articulate it because I never sounded right, but now I can. That's it. This is not a job. He said, this is a calling. It's not a job. I'm here till he tells me to stop. He called me to do it. He's got to tell no retiring. I don't want to retire. I don't have no desire to retire. You know, there's aches and pains in pastoring. I enjoy pastoring as much you can say the word enjoy. I thank God I'm a pastor. Things that I do affect eternity. That's why it's so serious. I don't take it lightly. And every single time that I stand before you, I'd like you to believe I'm standing before you in seriousness. Not just doing something. Amen. I don't know where all that came from. Let's go back to the lesson. So we're on verse 101. The insights again and the benefits. Verse 98, make you wiser. 99, have more insight. You have understanding. What verse 100? Look at the next one in verse 101. Of Psalm 119, verse 101. And it reads, I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Wow, look at the benefit there. The word of God keeps us from sinning. That's profound. And by the way, I know you've heard this 100 times here at 101.
The problem with the world, what ails the world, politics can't fix. Governmental programs can't fix. Society can't fix. Because what is wrong with the world is spiritual. And what's wrong with the world? What's at the root of everything? Word of life?
Sin.
Sin. That's what's wrong with the world. Politics can't fix that. Government can't fix that. Schools can't fix the educational system. None of that can fix that. What kept him from every evil way was the word of God. What's going to cure what's wrong with individuals, not going to cure it all folks all around, but individuals as God sends his people to individuals, what's going to cure their particular problem is going to be the word of God. Your lifestyle and the word of God coming through that. If God hasn't done it already, he will send you to families. He'll send you to an individual. He'll send you to... That's just how he operates. That's what he does. Sometimes we're looking past the individual God has sent it to, looking past trying to have a massive impact and just change the whole Detroit city. And he told you to go to this little widow woman at such and such street. Just obey God.
Amen.
Because after all, any of our efforts, if God isn't behind it, we labor in vain. Amen. It's empty, it's futile, and it's worthless. Amen. God sends you. I keep thinking about Alfred Horton. He sent me, sent me into the home, beautiful home of his mom and his stepdad. And I'm sitting there with the Horton family. Now think about that. And not just me as a pastor. God has sent you to homes or sent you to individuals. We have a responsibility. And the responsibility first starts with us in verse 101 to restrain our feet from every evil way. Because you don't want folks to say to you, man, I can't hear what you're saying for what you're doing. Because actions scream, words whisper. So if you're trying, and then of course we fail every day at this from every evil way. But we should where we are being restrained from evil more and more. Does that make sense?
Amen.
There's a decreasing frequency of sin.
So
that God can use you to go to that next person. Instead of saying, when you go to that person, they start laughing when you start talking to them about Jesus. You talk to me about Jesus? Whoa, my boy, look out. Boy, you ain't serious, are you? That's a terrible indictment. And you call yourself a Christian. That's the one that kills everybody there. Whenever somebody sums up your life like that, that's a problem. Because they're not seeing the obvious fruit. Jesus said, by your fruit, you will know them.
Amen.
It's supposed to be obvious. Remember, what are we teaching on? Being an alien, a foreigner, stranger, refugee, exile. All of those words, when you're obvious, you stand out. You are outside of the house. When folk come out the house and see you, they say, you are outside the house. You're not in the house. I know that's simple, but it ought to be that clear. You can't be in the, you can't be outside the house and they wondering if you're inside the house.
Amen.
I don't know if you caught that or not.
Yeah.
Being this, we ought to be that distinctly Christian. Yeah. I came out the house, you was out here. You were not in there. So there's no way I can confuse you with being a house liver. That's ain't a word, but it is for today. You're outside. And when you're outside, people will notice. Go back to Jerry in the barbershop. What makes this preacher different from anybody else? All the other preachers come to the barbershop. Ain't nobody talking about, shh, they're coming to preach it. Other preachers come in the barbershop. I told you, unfortunately, some of them even join in the raucous talk. So that's what he was used to, sitting in the barbershop over at Bucks.
2, I think. So out of all these preachers that come in to this place, here come the long hair preacher getting out of the car, and all of a sudden, shh, 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 shh. And that made him angry. He's like, what in the world? I ain't shushing nothing. What make this dude any different from anyone else? That's what it ought to be. Outside the house, at your job, your family, your job, amongst your people, it ought to be clearly this, something is different. I don't understand it. Like my mother's brothers told her, she said, it's something, you got something. I don't know what it is. But she was stronger than her brothers when my dad died. That's something that God strengthened her so much that she's consoling them. They big towering all on her shoulders, literally crying, broke down on her shoulders. And it was her dad, her husband who died suddenly. The hardest deaths to me are those sudden deaths. That just, you know, because it's so unexpected, I guess, you know. All of them hard. Lord have mercy. Death is hard. But you walk out the house and you come back and he's dead. Just like that is just really tough. But the Lord strengthened her when they fell on her shoulders. We ought to see it. They ought to see it. It ought to be clear. And the reason you ought to see it, verse 101, because we are working on restraining our feet from every evil way. Every evil way. Just let that be the direction. Remember, it's not perfection. We're not perfect. But it ought to be the direction. I love when that pastor said that. It's not the perfection that we're living, but it's the direction that our lives are taking. And the direction is toward perfection. We'll never hit it down here, but you keep going toward it. There should be clear, irrefragable proof that we are on our way to being conformed to the image of his dear son. The world ought to see it. And when they see it, two things are going to happen. Either they're going to be attracted to you, or they're going to hate you. They're going to repel. I don't want nothing to do with you. You're a Jesus freak, as they used to call us. Jesus freaks. That's a compliment. He said, I've restrained, verse 101, my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. Verse 102. I have not turned aside from your ordinances. So he's restrained the feet, not turned aside. 100, they understand more insight, you're wiser. You can see all these benefits. Look at verse 102. I've not turned aside from your ordinances. That's another synonym for the word of God. For you yourself have taught me. It goes to 1 John saying that you need to know man teaching, but that the Holy Spirit teaches you. And that doesn't mean that you'll need to go to church and you can sit home and let the word teach you because then that would contradict Hebrews, which says to forsake not yourselves the assembling together of the saints as the manner of some, but even more, do it more, which would be even church even more. Make sure we get there even more to encourage one another to love and good works. What that's talking about is that the Holy Spirit is the one that's supposed to be doing the teaching. Now if I come up here and tell you, well, I believe, in my opinion, you know, really, you know, in my opinion, this is how this ought to read, then everybody ought to walk out. Because your opinion becomes just as right as mine. And if that we just talking about opinions and philosophies and theories. But through me, the Holy Spirit is speaking from the Lord through me to us. And so that's what he's talking about here. Or that's what he's talking about in 1 John. He said, for you yourself have taught. That's who's teaching us. Verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. What does that mean? That I draw and get great delight and pleasure from your word. When you're a Christian, when you're born again and the Lord Jesus Christ has resurrected our spirits, the word becomes sweet. It becomes sweeter than honey to our mouth. Sweet to taste. Why? Because you understand the word of God. You have received benefit from the word of God. You understand that it makes you wiser, gives you insight, gives you understanding, helps to restrain your feet from evil, help you to not turn aside from the word of God. It becomes sweet.
It's what your marriage is based on. It's what your friendships are based on. It's what your thoughts are based on. It's what your words are based on. It's what your actions are based on. Amen. It becomes everything.
Amen.
You give it the proper place it ought to have, and that is the preeminence in our lives.
Amen.
Then and only then does it become sweet. But if you don't read it and you don't meditate on it, it will never become sweet.
Amen.
Because you'll never draw the benefits out of it. And the more you mature in the things of God, the sweeter it becomes.
Amen.
Oh boy, and when the sweeter it becomes, here come all that noise. Woo!
Ah, hallelujah!
Here it come. Because you just can't, it's like fire!
Amen.
Oh, come on somebody. Oh, I feel like going to my apostolic days. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, here it come. Look out, Miss Cheryl. Fire! Shut up in my bones. I don't know why they do all that, you know. They get the, Jesus, a Mary's baby, the rose of Sharon. But if you do that properly, with knowledge, I feel you.
Amen.
If you're teaching still, you know, and it's a segment, I ain't got no problem with that.
Oh, yeah.
It's the showtime that I don't, that's not what God doesn't like. Because that's a distraction. And you're not learning. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and what? Learn of me. Paul, Apostle Paul told the young pastor Timothy, he said, these things teach and exhort. These things must be taught. And when they are taught, then become sweet.
Yeah.
To taste sweeter than honey. Verse 104, from your precepts I get understanding. He says it again. Notice all these is dealing with the intellect and the mind. Go back to verse 98, wiser, 99, more insight, 100, I understand. And when you do all that, then notice the results of that, you sin less, verse 101 and 102. Here's the delight in 103. Then back to 104, from your precepts, I get understanding, back to the mind. Therefore, I hate every false way, because the word of God is going to inform you about what is false. And then you and I began to exercise or put into motion the mind of Christ.
Amen.
That means we ought to hate what he hates and love what he loves. That's one of my prayers for myself and then for Word of Life. Help us to hate what he hates and love what you love. Therefore, I hate every false way. Yet another benefit. You get understanding, you hate every false way. And then lastly, we pray this prayer up incessantly at nauseam ad infinitum. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light to my path. That means that the word gives us direction and shows us where to go. So let's look at the benefits from just this one section of Psalms 119. It makes you wiser, verse 98. Gives you more insight, verse 99. Gives you understanding, verse 100. Restrains your feet from evil. Calls you not to turn aside from the word. Verse 103, it is sweet and sweet in your mouth. 104, you get more understanding, therefore you hate every false way. And 105, it lights your feet, lamp to your feet and a light unto your path. Look at all those benefits in just that one section.
Yes.
You rob the people of God when you don't give them solid food.
Yes.
Look at all those benefits.
Yes.
Wisdom, insight, understanding. And it's not to have wisdom, insight, and understanding just to have wisdom, insight, and understanding. But it's to turn my feet from every false way.
And it's to
hate every false way.
Yes.
And it helps you not to turn aside from the things of the Word of God because there's so much direction and instruction in it. And you allow the Word of God to lead, guide, and direct you. That's where the lamp of the feet and light of the path comes in. Lord, you direct me. You show me the way to go. You light my way in this dark world. Help me not to adhere to the darkness that society is bringing. Your word lights it. It's like there's this darkness there. You know, darkness. There was lanterns back then. And I can't see where to go. Let me lift the lamp. Oh, I see. This is where I go. But this light that you hold right here, that's the word.
Amen.
And if I don't hold that up, then don't walk.
Amen.
How about that one?
How about don't move? How about meaning, let's, how did it look in real time? Shut up. Mm-hmm. Don't join the conversation. If you can't put God's lamp on that, then don't join the conversation. Amen. You're the salt. If you can't preserve that conversation from corrupting any further, then don't join the conversation. Amen. Just be quiet. You're the salt of the earth. Salt prevents corruption. Salt retards corruption. Lamp shows the way. How do you know there's somebody in that conversation that God is working on and waiting for, from waiting for God's man or woman to show up and speak salt into that situation and bring that person on out of it to Jesus? We need to be that serious. Oh, it ain't that deep, is it? Yes, it is, because souls are deep. Amen. And not bringing God glory is deep.
Amen.
Let the lamp shine. Lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. Oh, I see clearly now. I see now what I need to say.
Yes.
I see now what I need to do.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you show the light up, you say, he'll tell you, say nothing and do nothing.
Amen.
And that's what you do.
Amen.
Nothing. And that's what you say. Nothing.
Amen.
It's up the lamp, the word of God shows. But it is a lamp unto our feet. And it is a light unto our pathway. Think of Jeremiah chapter 15. Lord, help us to get to this. Help us to get to this. Jeremiah chapter 15. Help us to get to this, please. Because this one fits within with verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honeycomb to my mouth. Help us to get to that. Jeremiah 15:16. Jeremiah 15:16. Your words were found and I ate them. Oh my goodness. And your words became for me a joy and a delight and a rejoicing of my heart. We don't treasure God's word like that. He said, I found them. That can imply that you were looking for them or you happened on them. But somehow you got possession of them. Your words were found and I ate them. Meaning I ingested them. I took note of it. I received it. Meditate on it. Remember to ingest. I ate them. That's the first part of eating food. You ingest food. Right? You put it into your mouth, chew it, and swallow. Then once it settles in the stomach, the hydrochloric acid breaks it down. Help me follow up. I'm going to say this right. And then it goes in. Then the body's then able to absorb the nutrients out of the food that you just ate. When he says, I found your words, I mean, he treasures them, he values, cherishes, ate them. Meaning, I just didn't look at him and say, wow, that show is nice. It's like you saying, oh, this is good food, Miss Mabel. Just looking all at the food there, but you don't ever eat them. She's going to think, well, why aren't you eating if that's such a good food? You done told me for the last 2 hours, this is some good food, Miss Mabel. And I wonder why you're not eating them. Jeremiah just didn't admire it. He ate it. And I'm going to tell you that he digested it, because once he ate it and ingested it, the results of that, he got joy, delight, excitement. Because the word brings great joy. Great joy. Not happiness, joy. Just review. Happiness is based on happenings. When things happen, it can bring you joy, happiness. Happy, happiness. Once those happenings stop or change, you're no longer happy. Joy is not as frivolous as that. Joy is eternal and abiding deep down in the core of human beings, of God's people, rather. And it's based on the word of God and what God has done, and the promises of God. And since the promises don't change, and since he cannot lie, we should be joyful even in the midst of troubles. The word brought joy and delight to him. He ate them. How do you eat the word of God? Hear it, and then meditate and do it. That's how you eat. Hear it, meditate, and do it. That's how you meditate. That's how you eat the word of God. Then you want to get the full benefit out of it. Not just hearing it. Notice we got to go past that. A lot of folks here, millions here. Millions and millions here. But very few meditate, and even fewer do. And so therefore they never get the benefit. And it's not sweet to them because they never received any benefit from it. You can hear the word all day long. That's what Jesus said. If you hear only, you're foolish. In the Greek, stupid. What it really is, to build a house on sand. That's not stupid. He said, I'm liking a person who hears and doesn't do to that person. That's strong words from Jesus. Because obviously when he's telling these folks, they say, build a house on the sand. What am I doing? Yeah, well, I'm telling you, when you are, and he was really indicting the crowd. Because a lot of them were hearing, and they were not doing. But he that hears these sayings of mine and doeth them, like the one to build a house on the rock. When the stuff came against the house, it couldn't fall because it found it on the rock. The rock is obedience of the word of God, Jesus, and obedience of the word to his word. That's an unshakable house. Though my world may fall, I'll never let you go. Jesus, you're the lover of my soul. He said, your words were found, I ate them. And it became the joy and rejoicing of my heart, delight of my heart. For I've been called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. In other words, I'm yours. You personally know me. And you call me by your name. In other words, you placed your name on me. I'm yours. That's a joy.
Yes.
Hebrews 5:14, get ready to close. Hebrews 5:14. Talking about solid food. Solid food. Talking about solid food, the benefits of solid food. Hebrews 5:14. No problem at all, sir. Hebrews 5:14. Talking about solid food and the benefits of solid food in helping us to achieve this alien mentality. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, key phrase, have the senses trained, key phrase, to discern good and evil. This is a simplistic teaching, if I can get this to you. You don't becoming adept at using the word of God, becoming astute in the things of God, doesn't just happen. I don't know if we, Father God, help us to get this. Those two words there, who by reason of, I think King James have use, which means practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. That's all that, those are natural processes. You take a basketball player or anyone in sports, and I'm thinking of three here. I got my brother Paul, he was quarterback and wide receiver. Kenny was running back. Lance is basketball player. Fella played football. Basketball player here. You got sports players in here. All of you all would tell me, practice, training, before you even look like you're going to do anything worth anything. Practice, training. You practice, you train. And you do that. I mean, fella play semi-pro ball. You need to get to that level. You practice and you train. And I hear you. I want you to hear what I'm saying. You practice and you train. If you or I practice as little and train as little as some of us are concerning the things of God, it's no wonder our lives are the way they are. Let those spirit minister that to you. A mature Christian, let's read it again. Solid food is for the mature who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil. If you don't practice using the word of God, if you don't, you won't be able to train your senses. You don't know what's good and bad because you haven't practiced. You got to put the word of God into practice. Amen. When it says do this, do that. Amen. And be strict about it. Don't give yourself a break. Amen. Well, it ain't that bad. Oh, I know what I'm thinking ain't that great. But, you know, hey, you know, everybody do a little something on the side, you know. All those excuses. When the word says A, do A. And be strict with A. When it says do B, then do B, don't do A. Then do B. Work the word of God. Practice the word of God. That's where a lot of us fail. Here, even in this room. We don't meditate. We don't practice. I say meditate, there's more facets. You know, just like the prism of the colors of a, you know, glass. You know, the light hit it right, boom. There's eight different shades of that one light. It looks like one beam. The word of God just bam. But we got to put in the time, you know. You know, when I've listened to a sermon by the preacher about the Apostle Paul. You know, made how did Apostle Paul survive all these hurts and pains and able to get to the Everest, the peak of pastoring, which is to, I fought a good fight, I've finished the course, kept the faith, you know, infiltrated me in crown of righteousness. I love that. That's the Mount Everest. That's the peak. That's the high. But how do you get there through all that pain? He said, well, it's sure by the grace of God. It's sure by the mercy of God. Yes, it is by the mercy of God. It's by the grace of God. Yes, it is those two. But you mentioned the third, yes, but it's also through the servant, the slave. You don't, it's not like you don't have any responsibility. Yes, grace and God, the mercy of God. But you must work the work too. Go back to the simple example and we'll close. Hammer, nail, wood. Pick up the nail, put it on the wood, and then you take your hand and start to hammer the doggone nail into the wood, tearing up your hand. You chose to do that. Did I not say hammer, nail, wood? Yeah, is there a hammer down there? That's what a lot of us are doing. We're just not using the word. And we got tore up hands. We don't have to. When the word of God could have easily taken care of that. That's why I called and called and called. Pastor Rodney Pearson. And I needed to know. I didn't know how to use the word. I was learning how to use it. What about this situation? What about this situation? I mean, the Lord threw me into the middle of Blanchett. I told you, like, it was like throwing me in the middle of the ocean. I don't know how to swim. Ocean's a mile deep. I don't know how to swim. Now, trust me. I don't know. I'm scrambling. Thank God he set somebody there. Because it's a community of believers.
Yes.
He set somebody there.
Thank you, Lord.
I mean, Sister Renata, tell you, we're available. Whatever situation I ran into, I didn't know how to handle it, call them. What I do to that when this happens? That's what Chris Starks did with me. He called. I don't know how to do this now. Because it's new. The way I used to do things, that's not godly. Now, I know how to do it any old type of way. But I'm going to know how to do it God's way. So I'm calling you. What do I do now? What do I do next? What's the next thing? Then you begin to learn how to use the word of God. There's your practice. It starts to happen. Oh, when this happens, I remember this verse. When that happens, this is what Jesus said I'm supposed to do. Paul got all kinds of stories to tell. I mean, he was arresting one big, high-up guy. And correct me, Paul, I think the guy thanked him for a more humane arrest, I think it was. Something to that effect. Because he could have put the cuffs on. This dude was something else. A more humane arrest. My light should shine in every area. Everywhere. Father God, thank you for practical teaching. Your word is a lamp unto our feet. Your word is a light unto our pathway. We are treasuring, storing, depositing your word into our hearts in abundance that we may not sin against you, that we may hate
every false way, that we may turn aside, that we may not turn aside from your word, and that we may have our feet restrained from every evil way. We need your word, Father God. For by it is how we live. For man is not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth.
Amen.
Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.